Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35 and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Dr. Aaron Tepe, who is the owner of Tepe Veterinary Services and is on the faculty at Brown Mackey College. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tepe.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dr. Tepe, we've been speaking this morning about the topic of nutrition, and I guess I would like to begin our conversation by asking, what is your interest in the subject that led you to it, and what are your credentials? What have you done in the area of pet nutrition?
Well, I started out primarily working in an emergency clinic, but my interest has always been in the natural food line. Not just in animals, but also in people. And I think Hippocrates said it best that, you know, let thy medicine be your food and let your food be thy medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, and a large part of what I do in my veterinary practice is has a holistic bent to it. So if I can fix something with food or changing your food or a natural supplement, that's the direction that I'm going to go in first. And then if I need to bring in medication or whatnot at that point, then we will. But I would rather fix the underlying disease. So in medicine, there's kind of two forms of thought. You have your basic Western philosophy, which we're all, you know, very much, you know, that's what we were raised with. And it's great for emergency conditions. I don't think you can beat an American emergency surgeon, period, end of story.
Right.
However, for chronic disease, Western medicine falls far behind. And so there's a huge push towards getting back to the basics, of which nutrition is a big, huge part of that. So when I talk to my students, I often tell them that half of what I do in any given situation is deal with nutrition issues.
Okay. Well, Dr. Tepe, I guess let's start at the beginning. What should you feed your animals and what shouldn't you feed them?
To start with, and there's, you know, there's debate among this, but first and foremost, we'll start with a cat. Cat are what we call obligate carnivores. So they have to have meat protein. They have to have animal-sourced protein in order to survive. There are a bunch of amino acids, which are protein breakdowns, that are absolutely essential. And for a cat, they have an additional need for that. And in nature, they're carnivores. They don't run around eating corn and wheat and stuff like that. They actually eat animals. They eat mice and rats and rabbits and squirrels and those kind of things. So, unfortunately, that doesn't sit well on a store shelf.
Right.
So, when you look at pet nutrition, the majority of your dog and cat foods have large amounts of grains, large amounts of carbohydrates in them, and then we turn around and wonder why they're all fat and diabetic.
So,
because
exactly.
We're feeding them the same way that we're feeding ourselves, right?
Exactly.
They're high fat, high carb, and we don't understand what the problem is. So if you look at dog and cat food, the other thing is that we go back to cats. Cats actually came from Egypt. They're desert creatures, which we don't really think about in the United States because there's, you know, a cat in every barn, right?
Right.
So, but the problem is that they're supposed to be getting their food from their water, actually from their food. They, you know, there's no lakes in Egypt. There are very few.
Right.
And so they're supposed to be taking in that. Cats are actually what we call water feeders. So they will eat to a certain water concentration. So if you give them dry food, they will often run around and crave. They want to eat more because they're trying to get that water into their body. You do find cats that drink water, but that's an adaptive thing. That isn't something that they're naturally, per se, born with.
Right.
So for cats, my number one food for them would be ideally raw. And I know that not everybody's a fan of that, and there are some inherent risks with that. After raw, the next best thing for me would be a canned or a pouched food that is moist in nature and that has no grains in it and preferably as few carbs as I can get away with.
Right. And when it comes to dogs?
And when it comes to dogs, there is a little bit more debate about whether or not they are complete carnivores or whether that they are omnivores, meaning they eat both plants and animals. And my personal opinion is that they are carnivores that happen to have some extra survivability through really, really hard times, and they can live on plant proteins when needed. I think they supplement their diet with plants, but I don't think it's a big part of what they would naturally eat.
Okay.
To them, too, I prefer to have a grain-free diet. Canned and raw is best, but, you know, if we have to do dry, that's still doable even for a cat. But my preference is moister food because that's closer to what they find in nature. And then definitely to go with a grain-free. I give a little bit more leeway to having A, more grains, and B, a little bit more carbs in a dog diet, because they are less likely to become diabetic as they get older, specifically from their food.
Gotcha. And what shouldn't they eat besides the grains and the carbs? Because you hear stories of onions and raisins and chocolate,
right,
and things like that. What are some of the things that you should absolutely avoid to keep away from GI upset and even something much worse?
Right. So you mentioned raisins. Raisins notoriously can cause actually kidney failure. And that is a relatively new phenomenon that we are aware of. So there is a potential, although I don't know that it's been proven yet, that it is some of the pesticides and stuff that we're finding on those raisins that are the issue.
Okay.
But I don't think we really truly know what the problem is, but it wasn't a problem. Onions, on the other hand, onions and garlic in large amounts can actually cause an anemia because they don't have the same enzyme systems in their liver that people do, or they don't have as many.
Okay.
So they just can't handle the correct amount, you know, large amounts of onions and garlic and stuff. So it's not a matter that they can't have any, they just shouldn't have much at all. So, you know, that's a problem. Green tomatoes can be a problem, and the tomato plant can be toxic. So there's a lot of plant toxins that are out there. Short of those kind of blaringly obvious things, obviously chocolate is not something that you would normally find dogs eating in nature. And chocolate has actually a caffeine module in it. There's a molecule in it that acts much like caffeine. So they can often get caffeine toxicity because they don't, you know, they don't drink coffee every day, so their hearts aren't used to it.
Right.
So they can have some heart arrhythmias. And then chocolate almost always has fat with it. And again, they're not used to those types of fats, and so they can end up getting some GI upset from that. Dogs and cats in the wild, again, they eat different proteins every day. So today they found a squirrel, but tomorrow they found a rabbit. So it's actually normal for them to vary their diet.
Okay.
In the human population, when we have dogs and cats, we're very much told that, oh, we should only feed one food, we should pick one brand and feed it for that animal's entire life.
Right.
And then we wonder why 6 years from now, when they happen to get a little bit, you know, grandma comes over and gives them some table scraps, why they get an upset stomach. And it's because we've trained them to eat a mono diet and their body can't handle it when we switch it.
Right. That's a great point because I've seen my dog do backflips when there's something different to actually get a chance to eat. And I've often wondered about that. Another thing that I've heard, and I don't know if it's a myth or if it's right, is that one of the great nutritional things for pets is the chewing of animal bones, because in chewing of bones, evidently there's nutrition that the dog ingests and is really good for it. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. And there, you know, there's some controversy over feeding raw, you know, and mainly because, when we feed raw, and bones should be fed raw. There are some that are treated with like ultraviolet light and stuff like that to decrease the bacteria and whatnot. But a cooked bone is very, very hard. Like if you do a soup bone and then you give it to the dog, it's very, very hard and it can splinter their teeth. And when they chunk off a piece of it, they literally, it can't be digested by your gut system because it's a rock of calcium. Whereas a raw bone is very bioavailable. So if you go again, you know, back to the wild, I understand dogs are domesticated, but if you look at like Animal Planet and you're watching, you know, a zebra, you know, that was killed by a lion, the first thing they're going to do is eat the innards. They're going to eat the liver and the kidneys and all the intestines and stuff. Then they're going to eat the muscle. And then if they don't get chased away, they're ultimately going to lay down and chew on the bones because we all need calcium. And muscle tissue is very, very high in phosphorus. And for every phosphorus, you need two calciums to balance it. So you have to have some bone in your diet on top of that. So when we see people that make their own diets, it can be done, but the number one thing that I see that they don't put in their diets is they don't make sure there's a calcium source that's coming in. So your bones have calcium in phosphorus and a ton of other minerals. You actually store a tremendous amount of minerals in your bones. And, you know, the best thing to help you build bone is, of course, bone tissue. And in the center of the bone is going to be the marrow. So there is fat in there. There's also other nutrients that are in there that will help their body kind of rebuild itself. And on the end of that is cartilage. Cartilage is just another type of protein. They will also, you know, those are the building blocks for their own cartilage. So the bone across the board is healthy for them, but that's more of like beef bone, sheep bone, that kind of stuff. You don't ever want to feed uncooked pork, just like in people. Can potentially carry parasites. You also don't want to ever, I don't personally feed chicken bones, whether they're cooked or uncooked, because they're much more likely to splinter and puncture the intestines.
Right. I've heard that as well. We've only got a couple of minutes left, Dr. Tepe. But one of the things that you mentioned earlier that piques my interest is you talked about supplements. And what supplements would you recommend that people should be giving to their pets to supplement their food or to augment it?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the type of food and the type of particular issues that particular animal has. Across the board, one of the number one things I usually recommend is some sort of omega fatty acid. And primarily it's because the way we feed our cattle and our sheep and whatnot in America, they're on a very high grain-based diet, so most of the fat they have in their body is cholesterol. If you feed them enough, if you get grass-fed beef, you're actually getting more omega fatty acids, which is why we're all deficient in it. So one of the number one things I usually recommend when I start talking nutrition is adding ground flaxseed or a fish oil to the diet. I see huge deficiencies in that respect. If you don't have enough omega fatty acids, you're going to have more allergies, you're going to have drier skin, et cetera. So I do use a lot of supplements like that. After that, I think most older dogs should be on some sort of glucosamine chondroitin type supplement to help calming down of, you know, any arthritis, pain, and whatnot.
Right, the hips.
Yeah, and then after that, it just really depends on what that particular animal ends up needing, you know, what other supplements they may be on. You know, I'm a big fan of, like, whole food vitamins, use a lot of a particular company called Standard Process, use a lot of their formulations. And, again, I can target the exact system that I need depending on what that animal need is.
Right. Dr. Tepe, if any of our listeners are interested in more information, is there a way to get in touch with you or to follow your writings or what have you?
Yeah, my email for Tepe Vet is just tepevet@gmail.com, and it's T-E-P-E-Vet, V-E-T, @gmail.com. They certainly can hit me up there. I also have a Facebook page, Tepe Veterinary Services, on Facebook.
Okay.
And love to answer questions.
Fantastic. We've been speaking this morning with Dr. Aaron Tepe, who is on the faculty at Brown Mackey College and is the owner of Tepe Veterinary Services. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation with Holly Hanzerich from Pruce Pets about this topic of food and nutrition right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.